This morning, would you turn with me to Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 2. As we look at the ordinance of baptism, we know that probably for most of us here, this isn't the first baptism that we have attended. And it's probably true that we have heard a lot of sermons on baptism as well. But you know, as many times as we hear sermons about baptism, as we hear what the scriptures say, and there's always some new things, some truths that we can learn. And nowhere would we ever be able to give you the total picture, the total, all of it in one sermon or on baptism, because there's so many things that are there. In a general sense, we realize that baptism is an ordinance that is a symbol. It is a symbol of a believer's identification with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. We would see that especially in Romans chapter 6 is a passage that's very clear on that. Colossians chapter 2, 1 Peter, and so on. If we look at the symbolism, let me just run quickly through some of those things that are there. As we look at it, we see that baptism really in the water, there's the remission of sins, there's the regeneration and the new birth. In Galatians chapter 3, it talks about us being grafted into Christ. And those of you that have anything to do with trees, fruit trees especially, you will know all about grafting. A union with Him. It's a new relationship with God. We're adopted as sons. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the belonging to the church, the gift of salvation. It's all of those things and probably more. You know, to the people of Jesus' day, when he was talking about baptism, he wasn't talking about anything that was that new to them. The Jews were familiar with what we call baptism as an entrance. It was an entrance ritual that the Gentiles especially were familiar with if they wanted to become Jews, possibly also the Jews themselves, but especially to proselytes. And in the encyclopedia, when it talks about baptism, it has an area there where it talks about the people of Jesus' day when Gentiles wanted to become a Jew. And I love what it says, because it said it was a formal act undertaken by a non-Jewish person who wishes to be recognized as a full member of the Jewish community. A Jewish conversion is both a religious act and an expression of association with a Jewish people. A formal conversion was also sometimes undertaken if there was any doubt about the person's Jewish heritage, to remove any doubt as to the Jewishness of a person who wishes to be considered a Jew. There's some interesting things there. Why the early church, Acts and on, would have used this symbol to portray baptism. And as I thought about that, and especially having had the privilege of visiting Oasis, Mexico, where we were for a number of years, and visiting with those people last weekend, it reminded me of citizenship. Citizenship, and is the way I want to use that in the illustration, it's not inspired illustration, and it doesn't completely cover what baptism is, but I think there's some neat truths there. You know, to us, citizenship, we don't often think of our citizenship. In fact, how many of you brought your citizen cards to church this morning? Probably not a whole lot, right? You might not even know what it looks like. To the people where we were visiting last weekend, the talk of citizen is just about a regular conversation piece. You know, are you a citizen of Canada? And do you carry your citizenship card? Do you have it if you want to do any type of travel? We don't often think of it as Canadians, or we don't often think of it if we don't go to another country. But if you move to another country and you want to take up residence there, you want to stay there, you will probably run into these types of issues. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'd like to take the time to read those verses for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, he speaks of this citizenship. In verse 11, he says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate. You were separate from Israel, from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier," or we could really say he has removed the borders "of the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." Here we have the legal barriers. "His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Folks, there's no more border crossings to be done. It's removed. "He came and preached peace to you who were far away, peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole body is joined together, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." What an interesting passage on citizenship. I want you to turn across to Philippians chapter 3. He continues this thought a little bit more. We are no longer foreigners and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. And then in Philippians, he says, "Join with others in following my examples, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." You know what I find interesting? People that come to Canada from another country, they struggle to adapt to Canadian law, to Canadian, the way of life in Canada. He says here, he talks about it, and he says that we should take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. You know, when you come to Canada, it's not necessarily very good for you to raise chickens in your basement. But it's a good thing, because you heat it, so why wouldn't you? So we had folks moving into town, and they didn't need the full basement. It's heated. They raised chickens until the neighbors had this incredible smell. And they couldn't figure out. They couldn't do that. And, you know, they could not understand why they couldn't do that in their house. They could back home where they came from. Or that you needed to mow your lawn was also something strange to them. And that they hated the bill they had to pay when the town came and mowed their lawn for them. And so these were the stories we hear back in Mexico when we were there, because people were so incredibly upset. What's this all about, living in Canada? You know? It's a struggle when you move into a new country to adapt. And so Paul is talking here about a pattern, about a way of life. He says, "For as often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things." And we do. Countries struggle with people who want to use a foreign country as a base for the evil things that they would like to do or our plans. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Citizenship in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Are you? Are you a citizen of heaven? Do you know that no one is born into this world as a citizen of heaven? It isn't. You have to decide to be a citizen of heaven. So if we talk about citizenship, then let's talk about immigration. Illegal immigration. If you look at verse 10 or verse 11 and 12 in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, uses the word formerly. He says, formerly you were Gentiles. Formerly you were separate from Christ. You were excluded. You were foreigners to the covenant and the promise. You were actually without hope and without God. Without hope. Many people start out illegally in a foreign country. They start out illegally because they're not given, they're not invited in, they're not allowed in. But once they are there, many of them make no effort to become a citizen, even if they were given that privilege. You know, they want the benefit of the country. And you have a country like Canada, a country like the U.S., people want to be there. Again, we have friends who have lived in the U.S. for 20-some years, illegally. They can't go anywhere near any border where they might be checked up. They carry on the business there somewhat, but they've never taken the privilege of becoming a citizen for one reason or the other. But they want the benefit of what the country offers. And we find that is true in the kingdom of heaven as well. You know, Jesus used the different illustrations and stories that show us that not everyone comes to church or is in the church for the right reasons. There are illegal immigrants. And what is the evidence that you see? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father." We've heard testimonies, and we will be hearing testimonies, and folks, it's much more than just the mouth saying something. Lord, Lord. It is doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we teach Sunday school? Weren't we on the board? Didn't we do this and didn't we do that? In your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." When Peter was ministering in Samaria, there was a man, Simon. He got saved. He got in the church. But when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered them money. "I like the power that I see by these apostles being able to pray and the Holy Spirit comes." He says, "I'll give you money so I can have the power to give the Holy Spirit to anyone that I wish. Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Paul tells of some Jews who went around driving out demons. They would invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirits jumped on them and overpowered them and all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. These people wanted the benefits of the kingdom of heaven, but they didn't want the commitment. They want the benefits. They want the power. They want the pleasure, but they don't want the commitment. They don't want the daily living of being in the kingdom of God, all the other parts that are there with. They want the benefits without being a citizen. But there are landed immigrants. They're the ones who are going through the process. They are doing the paperwork. They are entering the country legally. And they are enjoying many of the benefits immediately. Many of the benefits of a country. But you know what's interesting is that for a variety of reasons, some of them don't want to become citizens. You know what's usually the greatest fear in those that I am familiar with? Because if you are a landed immigrant and you want to become a citizen of Canada, then you are going to need to learn some things about Canada. You're going to need to learn some of its history. You're going to need to learn the laws of the land. And you're going to have to give a testimony. Well, maybe not in the same way that you did today. But you have to come before a crowded tribunal or a court where you will be asked the questions and you will need to respond with what you have learned. And that's tough, isn't it? When you again take into account that you hardly speak any English and you're going to have to respond to these questions in English, it's easier to let it go. And I have friends who are struggling with their 10-year time is coming up, and they, at 10 years, I understand that's the longest you can go, then you have to do this. And oh man, they just can't get behind this. And they're not sure, are they going to go through with this or not? We sometimes want the benefits, but do we really need to learn all this stuff? Paul, in talking to the Galatians, he talks to the Galatians and he says to them, you've started this, you've started the process. Let's read it. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, you've started this whole immigration process the right way. Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Your own way? The easier way? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? You've entered the kingdom of heaven. You've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You know that it is only through the Holy Spirit that you have the power to change, to get rid of the old way of life that no longer fits into this new kingdom. But once you are here and you're enjoying it, and then all of a sudden you begin to think, you know, this is pretty tough. I wish I could go back to my old way of life. Some of it, not all of it. I don't want to bring all of Mexico into Canada, but if I could at least raise my chickens the way I want to, or not have to mow my grass. Give me some of both worlds. Are you so foolish that having acknowledged and believed that it is only Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who can save you, that now you will try to live your Christian life in the flesh, in your own power, by a list of rules that you can check off? I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. It doesn't work. But we can become, through our Lord Jesus Christ and the work He has done on the cross, by believing in His name and allowing His blood, confessing my sin, repenting of my sin, then I can become a card-carrying citizen of heaven. He says in the especially verse 19 to 22 of Ephesians here, he says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, because Jesus Christ broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, by the cross of Jesus Christ. Now you're a citizen. You're not a foreigner. You're part of God's household. You move around the country. You are enjoying every part of living in the new country. And yet there are times where we desire to have dual citizenship. The children of Israel, if Moses had given them their wish, you know where they would have gone? Back to Egypt. They hated Egypt. They wanted to leave Egypt. But a little bit of hardship in the desert, maybe quite a bit of hardship, and they wanted to go back. You know that it is in that when we're going through tough times, it's when we're going through the deserts that everything back home in the country that we left began to look so good. Our good friends, when they go into the U.S., they show their Canadian passports. Because if they go on a Canadian passport, it's so easy to go into the U.S. But when they come back into Mexico, then they show their Mexican passport. See, they're allowed to have dual citizenship. And they don't want to show their Canadian passport coming back in, because that you come in as a tourist. You can't bring in this and this and this and this. There's a whole rule, different rules. And they want to have dual citizenship. They want the best of both worlds. And you know what? Mexico allows that, but the U.S. doesn't, I understand. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, you have to give up your Canadian citizenship. You know, that's how it is for us as believers. James says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Through these promises, the verses prior to this, God has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in this new kingdom, the divine nature, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do not love the world nor anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot have dual citizenship. You either choose to follow Jesus or you harden your heart. You can't have the best of both worlds. Because God knows that that will never satisfy you. These two worlds, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, they cannot dwell together. You cannot have light and darkness together. Light will always dispel darkness. You cannot have darkness if there is light. You can have a pitch black room and you light a little match and that you will notice that match. Because light will always dispel darkness, and you cannot be a citizen of heaven and try to keep your citizenship in the world. Are you a citizen? Do you know that you don't have to be an illegal immigrant in the kingdom of heaven? You see, in Canada, US, Mexico, any country, it's tough to become a citizen. It's tough to just move in there and just say, you know what, I'm going to be there. But in the kingdom of heaven, that's never the case. You see, in Titus chapter 2, it says that for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, uprightly, and godly lives in this present age. Citizenship into heaven is available to everyone because the grace of God appeared that brings salvation to all men, to all people. There is no one who's exempt, who cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All it takes is to acknowledge that you are a sinner, to repent, to turn from your sin, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for you, for your sin, and then you will be born again. But you will have to give up the citizenship in this world, because He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. So how does that connect with today? Well, as we think of baptism and membership, how significant are they to the believer, to the Christian? Is there really a significance to baptism, to membership? Why do we think that it is important? Well, maybe we could compare baptism to preparing for and finishing the citizen process. In the way in which we share our testimony, we share of the knowledge that we have learned about the Christian faith. And in a way, yeah, you formalize it. And yeah, you will get a card, but it doesn't say citizenship. But it is a card. Membership is the commitment that comes along with it, that says that I don't just want to enjoy the benefits of this new country, of the Church of Jesus Christ, which is divided into locals all over the world, groups of people meeting together. I'm not just going to enjoy the benefits, but I'm also going to commit myself to living in community, in the community of faith. I want to live in this new country. I want to do my part in this community, in this church. It is enjoying the benefits, but it's also carrying the responsibilities that go with it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the privilege that we have had of looking into Your Word. We know, O God, that Your Word is truth. I thank You for that. We've compared it a bit and looked at it as the citizenship that is in our governments here on this earth and that of the citizenship of heaven. And we realize, Lord, that we have to make a choice. We cannot live with one foot in two countries. We cannot straddle the border. We will need to make a decision. I pray, Father, for each and every one here today. Many, if not most of us, have made the decision that we want to be citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Father, there may be some here who are trying to carry on a dual citizenship, and they're frustrated. They have to hide one when they go to church, and then they hide the other when they live during the week. Father, show them that that isn't really life at all, and that what they have to give up the kingdom of darkness and the natural man and the old way of life, is really not giving up at all, but it is giving the opportunity for the life of the kingdom of heaven to be fulfilled within us. Lord, there may be those here today who have never made a decision, who have never decided, who have never repented of their sins and confessed you as Lord, but they're trying in their own way to live life, a happy life, a joyful life, and yet there's always something missing. And sin and Satan ensnares them. So this morning, Lord, I pray that they too will follow your drawing of them to take on this new citizenship of the kingdom of heaven, to confess their sin, repent, turn from it, and to accept you as their Savior, Lord Jesus. And then to experience the power of the Holy Spirit living in their lives, giving them all they need for life in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray your blessing on our baptismal candidates as they share their testimonies this morning and as they follow you in this step of baptism. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.